The city is currently holding public hearings with respect to Airbnb and home sharing. The city is proposing regulations which would require all Airbnb hosts to register with the city and purchase a $49 license. And on top of that, it would only be for a primary resident. So in other words, you couldn't just run out, buy a condo, and because you have a license, use that license at a second place, which obviously would contribute to the housing shortage that we already have here in Vancouver. David Clement is a frequent guest on Roundhouse Radio. He's the North American Affairs Manager with the Consumer Choice Center. David, welcome back to Roundhouse Radio.
Thank you very much for having me back.
David, first, because I've never talked to you, I need to know something before we talk about this. Do you have a dog in this fight, or are you kind of neutral on the whole thing? Or are you lobbying for somebody here?
The only dog that I have in this fight is that I'm someone who particularly likes using Airbnb on a personal matter, or like on a personal side. From the Consumer Choice Center's perspective, I mean, we advocate on behalf of consumers, and so we hope to be the voice of consumers who can use whatever means we have at our disposal to raise some awareness about unintended consequences from policies like this proposed tax and the proposed ban on secondary listings too.
Now, as I understand it, if you want to have a B&B, bed and breakfast, you can get a license from the city of Vancouver. And I forget how much it is, but it's pretty slim. It's not much at all. But now they want a $49 license for an Airbnb and only your only your primary residence. So, I mean, to me, it's just more government interference.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at this fee, they call it a license. And when people hear the word license, they assume it has something to do with safety or something to do with security or maintaining certain standards. But all of this really is just a $49 fee to get permission from the city to go ahead and do what you were already doing if you're listing your home or a unit on Airbnb. So for the most part, it's city officials saying, hey, we know that people like this, and we know that residents like earning a little bit of extra money from this service. So let's try to get a piece of the pie and make it a requirement for homeowners to get this license.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you're going to agree or disagree with me on this one, but if approved, all non-primary residents would not qualify for this license and therefore would be illegal. And you know what? I'm all for that. I've seen what Airbnb has done to the housing market in Toronto and in places like Montreal. You get people who specifically run out, they buy a condo, and there's no way they're going to rent it to anybody because it's strictly going to be an Airbnb 31 days out of the month. And we already have a housing shortage in Vancouver, and I think that would just add to it.
So I think what you've highlighted right there is a problem that is going unaddressed, which is the housing shortage. If you look at major Canadian cities, especially Vancouver and Toronto, we have chronic undersupply. And so I understand some people's concerns in terms of the issue of people using the short-term rental market and earning extra money off of that market, let's say through something like Airbnb. But the real issue in terms of the housing crisis is a lack of supply. So in terms of how we make housing more affordable, how an issue or a service like Airbnb becomes no longer an issue is having appropriate public policy that can help increase supply, especially for those major metro areas like Vancouver and Toronto. Now, the one other misconception.
Nice try, David. I'm not buying it. I mean, what do you propose they do? Just, you know, release a bunch of money from some magic fund and start building condos?
Well, condos aren't not being built because builders don't want to build them. They're not being built because the regulatory environment placed upon these builders is quite strenuous in terms of different communities having various limits on building size, the rental requirements or other compliance costs in order to build. There's something that we call NIMBYism, not in my backyard syndrome, which everyone wants affordable housing, but nobody wants to put up with the development to have it. And so we have whether it's local politicians or even provincial politicians who are in these major metro areas, they advocate or maintain the status quo, making it very difficult to increase supply. It is a simple supply and demand issue. If you look at areas where they relax some of these housing requirements, we look at a major metro city like Houston, where they've really relaxed the zoning requirements on these builders, which doesn't sacrifice safety, but allows for them to increase supply. We've seen that downward pressure on housing, and we've seen affordability go up across the board. So, it really does come down.
Yeah. Okay. To supply and demand. You make your case very well. Now, I don't see that happening. So, if they do say that your non-primary residence would not qualify for a license and it would be illegal, then again, I see that as a good thing because it'll allow more condos, apartments to be up for rent and not just Airbnb.
Well, I think what we're ignoring here is that a lot of this is dead capital. And by dead capital, I mean if you have, let's say, a family who has a basement apartment that their university-aged son lives in during the summer when they're home, that unit, that basement apartment under the proposed legislation would actually now become illegal to rent through a service like Airbnb. And so for the most part, it sits there as dead capital because the restrictions and requirements when you move into a long-term rental agreement are far more strenuous, are far more strict in terms of like the terms in the agreement and things like that. So many of those units may actually go unused as a result, and they sit as dead capital. And so it does sound nice the idea that all of a sudden these units would be shifted to the long-term rental market. But the problem is that these incentives have to be there. And the fact that Airbnb is so successful suggests that the incentives aren't there to begin with.
Okay. The city are holding these hearings. How long are they going to go on? And any predictions from your end?
It's a good question in terms of predictions. I'm fairly certain that the city is going to move forward with the licensing fee for Airbnb or other kind of rentals of that nature, mostly because they're calling it tax equity so that they treat them similarly as hotels. In terms of the secondary ban, I would really like to see that be scrapped or to see additional provisions added into any proposals that make exceptions for people who are capitalized or utilizing dead capital. So the example of like a basement apartment. Yeah. And ultimately, respecting the rights of property owners, because at the end of the day, we have to realize these are people's homes. They own these homes. And so to a certain extent, they need to be free to do as they please with the housing that they do own, so long as it's not actually going out and harming other people.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to see them be a little more accommodating of property owners, which in turn is beneficial for consumers.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for this. You know, if you take a look at the Vancouver Sun this morning, there's another problem in Vancouver. It's a housing shortage of another kind. We're running out of cemetery space, but we're not going to get into that conversation right now. It's like,
maybe another time.
Yeah. Like, it's like you have to commute 2 hours into Vancouver because you can't afford to live here. Now, if you die, your relatives will have to commute 2 hours because there's no place to bury you in the city anymore. Another conversation for another time. David, best of luck with this. We'll be watching.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.